I would like this morning that we turn to the Gospel according to John. We will be reading the first 18 verses, but I'll tell you ahead of time that my emphasis really this morning is going to be within the first 5 verses, but I want us to get the setting, as it were, in these first 18 verses of how John approaches the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something that he's doing that the other three gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are not doing, and Lord willing, I'll be able to lay that out for us. Hear then the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.'" And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's right side, at the Father's side. He has made him known. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord abides forever. Amen? Amen. Our Father, apply your ever-abiding word, we pray. Open it to us now here this morning, we ask, that your name would be glorified above all else, and that we may know that we have once again met with you. We ask this all for Christ's sake. Amen. By way of little introduction, I spoke with the elders about this some time ago already and said, I really would like to delve into the character and the person of Jesus. Can we do that? And I'd like to do it through the Gospel of John. So just to prep you a little bit, my intent is not to preach through every single verse or even every single chapter in John, but to concentrate, Lord willing, on the person and character of Jesus. So there will be some things that are missed, but if I begin to say I'm going to preach through the Gospel of John, it would take some time, and there are other things I think that are also necessary here at New Sterling. So let's begin here just making some comments on the very beginning, and that is, there's a common expression out there in our world, and that is, it shows up like this: go get a life. We may have used that expression. Or someone would say, I have a life. We look at advertising, for example, and when you analyze advertising, you can probably boil it down to, you deserve a life. You deserve happiness. You should go out and buy a car today, and you'll be happy tonight. You should go and buy these clothes, and you could go on and on. Go look at another side of the spectrum. You can go take a look at the drug addict, the alcoholic, the sexually broken, gamblers. You name the abuse. What's behind it all? It's not that people want to be miserable. It's they want to have a life. They didn't aim to be miserable. They aimed to get a life. They wanted to experience life. Take another avenue. Look at the more successful, quote unquote, people, actors, actresses, you name them. What do we know about them? Well, when we find out about their personal lives, we find out that they're making shipwreck of their lives. They have more money than they know what to do with. And their money doesn't buy them one iota of lasting pleasure. One iota of getting a life. They're always reaching for more. I forget which one it was, but there was a very, very rich man, and he was asked, how much more money do you need? And he said, just a million more. That's it. I've said these things to us to sort of set the stage, to say to us all this morning, John, the Gospel of John, gives us the answer to where true life is found. He brings us face to face with not only where true life is found, but he brings us face to face with the Christian life that demonstrates where this true life is found. Now, I could ask the question, who wrote the gospel? And you may say, well, that's a pretty simple answer. It's the gospel according to John. But you know, John hesitates to mention his own name. Even in these 18 verses, he does say there was this man named John. He doesn't say, that was me that wrote this book. There's, I think, four or five other places he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So he hesitates to use his own name, and I would say it's humble John. I could make a point here, and I will, and that is the closer we walk to Jesus, the more humble he makes us. Pride and Jesus don't get along. And when we walk with the Lord Jesus, he brings humility into our lives. It's the very reason why John himself says in three chapters, he must increase and I decrease. So that really sets the stage. And I said to you right at the very beginning is that John does something that the three other writers don't. Matthew starts with the genealogy of Jesus, and he's writing to prove to the Jews that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. Luke, of course, writes Luke and Acts. So Luke writes before the ascension of Jesus, the things that he did, and Acts after the ascension. There's a purpose for what Luke is writing. Mark is writing about the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has an emphasis on angels and things happening immediately. Mark loves that word, immediately. You see it time and time again in the gospel. But John writes these words, he writes this gospel well after the other three gospels. It's typically thought that he wrote the Gospel of John about the year 65, before the temple was destroyed, where the other gospels are written about 35-40 AD. But something that John doesn't do is, when you look at the first five verses of this chapter, John does not give us the reason that he is writing the Gospel of John. When you take a course in high school or even in college about writing, there better be a thesis in the very opening pages or the opening paragraph of what you're writing. The reader needs to be gripped by what you're writing about so that the writer or the reader will continue to read on. But John doesn't do that. Here's what we need to do. We need to go all the way to the end of the book. I'm going to ask you to do that because it's something that has to be kept in mind through every bit of the Gospel of John. If you have a Bible with you, you can turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and it's there that John reveals why he wrote this gospel. And it's very important because this is the way that you can always keep in mind, what is John's emphasis? Why is John doing this? What's the big deal with the Gospel of John? And that is John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. Here's the first purpose statement for writing this gospel. That, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. First purpose statement. Second purpose statement is this: and that by believing, you may have life in his name. These two purpose statements underscore all of which John writes in this gospel. This is his motivation as he writes the things that he does and he records the things that he does. Now let me make it clear as we go back to John chapter 1, and that is the Gospel of John is not intended to be a complete recording of everything that Jesus did. He even admits there are other things that Jesus did that are not written in this book. But these things are written. Here's those two purpose statements, so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Those are the two things. So, I may sound like a teacher at this point, but whatever you do, whatever I do, we are not to lose sight of these two purpose statements in the Gospel of John. So then, let me press on. And that is this: life in Jesus is a theme that continues to rise in the Gospel of John. When you look at our text, like I said, I was going to concentrate on the first five verses. John does something, as I said, that the other writers do not do, and I'm going to read it again. In the beginning was the Word. We'll stop there a minute. In the beginning, John, what are you saying, in the beginning? Because they sound so familiar from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning. So while the three gospel writers are dealing with Jesus' coming from his incarnation forward, John is doing something that they haven't done, and that is to say, I want you all to understand who Jesus is. Jesus, from the beginning, he is stressing that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the eternal Son. He's from eternity past. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He stresses it again. He was in the beginning with God. And we ask, did God ever have a beginning? And we confess, no, he always was. So, Jehovah's Witnesses, and that began long before that it was called Jehovah's Witnesses, it was with Arius in the 7th century, denying that Jesus always existed. But John is very, very clear. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God, which is to say, the Son always existed. The Trinity always existed. What are the characteristics of the Lord Jesus? Well, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I'll stop there. But let's ask ourselves the question, why do we need to pay attention to these particular words? He was in the beginning with God. If we confess that Jesus is the Son of God from eternity past, and it's the only way that we can express that the Son always existed, what does that have to do with you and I? The best way that I think I can put it for us all is that what happened in the Garden of Eden was that Adam and Eve sinned, and we sinned in them. And that we are sinners, unable, as I said to the children, unable to fix ourselves. There is no human being that can eternally fix our problem. And I'm emphasizing that this morning because of John's emphasis. That unless there is an eternal fix, we can't be fixed. We were created with souls that never perish. We will live for eternity, either in heaven or in hell. And so when John is emphasizing that Jesus was in the beginning and that he was with God, he is saying to you and to me that God in his love sent his only begotten Son to effect an eternal answer to an eternal problem. So when we think, I can fix this myself, I can correct myself. I used to be in jail ministry, and I can't tell you how many times I would be speaking to a group of prisoners. And I would say, how many of you men, I was always dealing with the men, how many of you men are going to do better next time? And almost without fail, every hand goes up. And I would need to say to them, I have bad news for you. Because you ain't going to do better. I can guarantee you, you ain't going to do better. Because I got the same heart you got. And all my efforts to do better will not fix me. And neither will your efforts fix you. And it's only an eternal fix that will cure you for eternity. And John is doing what he is doing as he's writing under the inspiration of the Spirit. He's doing this on purpose. Because we need an eternal Savior. Nothing else will do. So let me get personal. Are you here this morning and you're struggling with yourself? Are you wondering within yourself, I don't want anybody else to know what I'm dealing with. I struggle with stuff that I don't dare talk to other people about. And you're ashamed. I could go further. I've hidden stuff for years. I just don't dare talk about it. I just put on a facade. I go to church. But I'm coming to you with the Gospel of John. I'm saying, come to Jesus. Yeah, you know, I'm a Christian and I made a profession of faith and I just don't live the way I should live. I'm having difficulties living the Christian life. We're to go to Jesus. We're to go to the one who cried out on the cross, it is finished. Because he's done it all. And John is saying to you and to me, in him was life. Go get a life in him. How many times, maybe it's just me. I mean, this was a personal confession, my friends. How often I myself haven't gone about with indifference and carelessness. How often I haven't gone about with slowness to pursue life in things that don't ultimately satisfy. And how often don't we as Christians need to be reminded by our gracious Savior, come to me, stop it, don't go there. Don't go there. Because I'm from eternity. I've got an eternal answer for you. This is what John is doing. And he's saying, you want a life? Go get a life in Jesus. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, dear ones. I'm not saying, none of you are Christians here. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if you are here and you don't know this life, and you know that you don't know this life, Jesus welcomes you. He welcomes you. Come. Come to him. Get a life. And you'll have life in Jesus. John even gives us assurance. Verse 4. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, he's presenting to us Jesus as he really is. You know, when this thing happened this past week with my wife, you know, all of a sudden you want to find doctors who know what they're talking about. You got to have help. And it just reminded us that Jesus is ultimately the only answer for what lies in our hearts. I know, God blesses physical. God gives us doctors. That's phenomenal. But what John is doing for you and for me here is as he is pointing us to the Lamb. And he's saying, This one understands all things. If he's from eternity past, he views time all at the same moment. I can't wrap my head around this. But he understands everything in all time, and he understands you and I perfectly and totally. And for very good reason, John is bringing us back, as it were, into eternity, which the other ones don't do. Not a fault, but there's a reason they did what they did in the Gospels. John does this here to bring us face to face with the character and the person of Jesus. Lest anyone should say, you can't help me. You are a foot doctor and not a neck doctor. I love it when the children come up with the answers. And he brings you and me face to face with who Jesus is. Why? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing in him, you may have life in his name. So John's purpose in writing this gospel is not to satisfy our curiosity for curiosity's sake, but that we may find ourselves bound up in Jesus. If you're a true Christian here this morning, you are united to Jesus in a union that cannot be broken. There are well-meaning people who say you can lose your salvation, but I submit to you, my friends, that the one who is from eternity past, when he says, I give to my sheep eternal life, there is no breaking that bond. There may be days, as you live your life and as I live my life, that we shake in our boots, so to speak, and we tremble because we think, I'll never be able to make it to the end. The Gospel of John gives us every bit of encouragement because he's presenting to you and to me the eternal Son of God that has come down in human form and has paid the price in our humanity for our sin and effected an eternal answer. And we'll get there. I can guarantee you that we'll get there. Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you to the end of the age. And I want to say it in all seriousness. You can't get away from him. If you belong to him, you can't get away. And you can bless him for it. So I'm emphasizing this this morning and really laying a lot of emphasis on it, actually. Because John is laying emphasis for this very reason, that you might be encouraged, that you may have hope, that in your down days, you will look up, and on your up days, you will bless God for such a great salvation. That he's taken you out of the pit and he's committed himself to you. He's so committed that he sent his only begotten Son into the world. And he said, I'm going to save a people for myself. And the darkness has not overcome it. All of the darkness in this world will not overcome the light of the gospel. And we are called to be encouraged by that very thing. So whether we are down or whether we are up, it doesn't make any difference. God remains the same yesterday, today, forever. Whatever hour, whatever your situation is, we're brought face to face in these five verses with Jesus, the eternal Son of God. It's the very reason why John writes, I'm not covering the verse, but I'm quoting it. It's the very reason that John writes this verse, verse 16. And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. We've not deserved a thing, and yet he's given us grace upon grace. Dear ones, meet Jesus. Meet Jesus, the character and the person of Jesus. Amen.